Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to all that are with us today. So I have a message today called, It's Time to Reap What You Sow, or What You Have Sown. It's time to reap what you have sown. And, you know, life, I've said this many times, like life goes in cycles, you know, like life is basically, if you're blessed to live to 75 years, is basically 5 15-year cycles. And life is kind of like the growing cycle. You know, when you look at the growing cycle, you know, in most places, when do you grow? You grow in spring and you grow in fall. And the summer is, that's when you grow the most. The summer is the time where you can grow, but it's harder. You have less rain, you have it hotter. And usually the winter is a time where you don't grow. You know, it's hard to grow. And that's most places of the world. I'm going to talk about in the Middle East. It's a little different. But life is like that. You know, we have winters in our life where things are harder. We're going through struggles. We're going through trials. But in everything, whenever there's a winter, there's always a spring that's coming after the winter. So we just ended the Shemitah not that long ago. You know, now it's, well, it's, you know, coming on 5 months. But the Shemitah is over, and after the Shemitah, what happens? Then it's time to reap what you've sown, right? You have to, spiritually, the things we sowed in the Shemitah, we're reaping. And as I'm going to read to you, Yahweh's blessing is really there. And what we planted after Sukkot, not when the Shemitah started, but about a month later. And wow, behind me, this is just from about the last week or so. You know, I mean, we have cauliflower coming out of our ears. You know, there's a thing called cauliflower ear that fighters get, you know. And we have cauliflower literally coming out of our ears. And we're making everything with cauliflower. It's our manna these days, you know, cauliflower soup and cauliflower flour. We just even had cauliflower pizza this week. So it's amazing. And also, unfortunately, the broccoli we ate last night, so I don't have it out. We have cabbage coming all over the place also, and all kinds of fresh herbs in our herb garden and lettuce. I mean, it's just amazing. And in my life, I've never seen, the things we're getting are like 3 times the size of normal. It reminds me when the Israelites were in the land and they're carrying the grapes on the poles. And this is what we've been getting. It's just amazing that because I believe we were faithful and we reaped good seeds, spiritual seeds during the Shemitah, not physical seeds, that Yahweh blessed us with that. And we just still have things growing up from everywhere. And even our Shemitah food, you know, our cans and jars and all that other stuff, is still probably 80% of what we had before the Shemitah even began. We were taking stock of some of the things, and it's just unbelievable how much that Yahweh blessed us with, and we still have, even though we've been using it. So Ecclesiastes 3 says, to all there is an appointed time, even a time for every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pull up what is planted, right? So that's the point of it. I hope everybody's been planting since the Shemitah ended. But if you are, you know, 5 months later, it's harvest time. You should be getting things now. Spiritually, we should be getting the spiritual seeds that we've been putting in the ground. And physically, you should be getting the physical fruits and vegetables that you were planting. Leviticus 25 and verse 20. I've read this during the Shemitah. And it says, and when you say, what shall we eat in the 7th year? For lo, we may not sow nor gather or increase, right? That's the, if you probably told people in the world or family members or workers that you work with, you know, hey, we're not planting this year, you know, and we're not eating food that's been planted. And they're like, well, what can you eat, right? What are you going to eat then in that 7th year? And Yahweh says, then I have commanded my blessing on you in the 6th year, right? So that's the important part, to prepare in the 6th year, just like on Shabbat. Yom Shishi, day 6, we prepare for Sabbath, because if you don't, you won't have food to eat on Sabbath. But we prepare on Yom Shishi on Friday, and then on Sabbath, you don't have to worry about it, right? Yahweh is providing there. When you say, what shall we eat in the 7th year? For lo, we may not sow nor gather or increase. Then I have commanded my blessing on you in the 6th year, and it shall produce the increase for 3 years, right? And you will sow the 8th year, and shall eat of the old crop until the ninth year. And here we are, right? We're sowing already, and we're eating. We'll be eating the old crop for at least the ninth year, maybe longer, especially the grain that we have. Until the coming in of its crop, and you shall eat of the old. So, wow. This is Yahweh's blessing that is there, right? If you were faithful in the sixth year and prepared for Shemitah, then and you planted spiritual seeds and physical seeds, you know, now Yahweh's giving the increase. And I'm excited when I hear the brethren sending me pictures, showing me things, what's happening. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people, but there are, you know, a few different brethren who didn't really prepare properly for Shemitah. And they're not benefiting. And we really do reap what we sow. That's the end of the line. You know, you reap what you sow. So that's it's a spiritual thing we say, you know, like in your life, you know, like if you're doing bad things, you're going to reap what you sow. But it is physically also with your plants. You reap what you sow. What you put into the ground and what you plant and what you prepare is what you're going to get. And here it is, like I said, wow, since Shemitah started, right? In the seventh year, the inflation that came was unbelievable. You know, now they said it's starting to even out, but still, things are 20 to 30% higher than what they were 2 years ago. And a lot of things even more than that. And it's everywhere. It's in travel, it's in food, it's in oil. The oil is unbelievable how much the price of the oil has gone up. Double and triple just with the oils. And yet at the same rate, because we prepared in the sixth year before the great inflation came, most of the things we have, if we were to go out and buy them today, are double and triple the price. But we got them because we did prepare. We're reaping what we sowed. And that's what Yahweh says. He'll give you this. If you prepare in the sixth year, he'll give you for all the way up to, like he says, the increase for 3 years, you know, even to sow the eighth year in the old crop to the ninth year. So seventh, eighth, and ninth year. Who doesn't love a 3-for-1 bargain, right? You look in the store sometimes, you know. Buy one, get one free. This is, you know, buy one, get three. You're getting three for the price of one. So this is just unbelievable what Yahweh is doing for us. And like I said, that's why I put these out here just from the last week. You know, we can't even keep up with it. You know, so we've been doing our detox, our vegetable detox that we try to do every year because it's there. And the great part about it is none of the things that we planted have any pesticides on it. It's all organic. So that's another great part about it that we can use it that way. So the Shemitah was a year release, right? And to build a true narrative of faith through Yahweh and his word. That's the main purpose for it. But Yahweh uses the physical things of planting and harvesting to show us that. It's a powerful time to really sanctify us from the world. So here it is. Also, what it showed us is, right, during the Shemitah, you can't go to restaurants, right? You can go to a supermarket, but you don't go so much because you can't buy anything fresh. And it's a way also during the Shemitah to sanctify us away from the world. And now that it's over, you don't want to go right back to the world. You know, it's the same way when I've helped people with health and losing weight. And I say, you know, dieting doesn't work. Look at the first three letters in it, D-I-E. And you have to change your mental outlook. You have to change how you look at food. And when you see, you know, sugar, you have to see a needle there, an injection, and you have to see yourself with diabetes, and it's not worth it. You have to mentally, you know, change the way that you look at things. And it's the same way here, you know, that I hope during the Shemitah, especially coming off of COVID, you know, and the lockdowns and all that, I hope it really helped you to realize the importance of staying away from the world, because that's why Yahweh did it. You know, we're heading into, we may be in the last 7 years before Yeshua returns, or at least the last 2 sevens by far, but it's close, you know, it's close. You know, it's not 30 years or 40 years or 50 years. And that's why Yahweh has to magnify these instructions for us and the lessons we're learning, so we learn them. But unfortunately, I've seen this over my years in ministry. I'm almost 30 years in ministry, and 40 years in the faith. And I've seen that there's people, no matter what, that they're not going to change. And when something comes, like I saw it during 9-1-1 and other times, those same people that will never change, that's when they'll panic like anything, and they'll panic and they'll worry. And then when the thing goes down, they go right back to their life. So these are the people that Yahweh basically says they're risking losing their eternal life because they're all hot air and they're no action. And out of fear for themselves, when something comes up, then all of a sudden they want to change for the minute, but they don't want lasting change. So today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about lasting change. We're going to talk about the year of release and hopefully what you've been released from and not going back to it, right? Because it's a year of release from sin, from the world, from Satan's system of commercial Babylon. Matthew 12 and verse 43. Matthew 12 and verse 43 says, "Now when an unclean spirit goes out from a man, it wanders in places that have no water in them and seeks rest but does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from where I came out,' and it finds that it is empty and swept and orderly. Then it will go and lead seven other spirits with it who are worse than it, and they will enter and dwell in it, and the end of the man will be worse than its beginning. This evil generation will be like this," right? This evil generation, the end time generation, that's what it is. And I've had the blessing, although I it's the last thing I ever want to do in the world is cast demons out of somebody, but I've had the blessing of Yahweh to do it more than once, on multiple times. And unfortunately, if somebody does have a demon cast from it, like it says here, and they don't keep their house clean, because why do demons come? Demons come when Satan tricks you into giving him authority in your life. It can come through depression. It can come through addiction. It could be any kind of addiction, not just addiction of alcohol or drugs, or even addiction to lust, addiction to greed, you know, addiction to food. Anything that's an addiction is an idol, and any addiction can cause a demon to come. And if you have that demon cast out of you and now you're free and you go right back to the very thing that caused the demon to begin with, the end is worse than the beginning, right? So you can't allow now, after from the blessings and the things that you overcame in the Shemitah, you can't go right back. And unfortunately, I feel sad for the people that are hearing this that didn't overcome anything in the Shemitah. That basically, sure, they tried not to eat food that was planted, but there was no spiritual embodiment, you know, empowerment during Shemitah. And maybe what you need to do is maybe after you listen to the sermon, you know, or tonight when you're in your prayer closet before you go to bed, really think about it and pray to Yahweh and think about it. Maybe even write it down. What kind of spiritual empowerment did you get this year? And if you got none, wow. Wow, you're in trouble because Yahweh poured it. The same way from 2015, we are living in the second Shavuot. Yahweh has been pouring out his spirit. And the first couple of years I wondered, you know, is it only in my mind? Is it only me? But it wasn't only me. I have had proof of this and evidence of this and testimonies from elders, from brethren, from all over the world, you know, that from 2015, how people have been growing in the Ruach HaKodesh and they've been changing and the mind of Messiah is growing in them. And if you don't see any of that, what does that mean? That means you're not doing anything. That means basically you're just a spectator, right? You're just a spectator. You're not involved in what Yahweh is doing in the end time. And change has to come because we're coming toward the end, you know, and we're past that valley of decision, you know. And if you're not taking advantage, and if you're not bearing fruit, and if you're not getting closer to Yahweh, as his kingdom is getting closer every single day. So maybe we don't know whether it's 7 or 14 years, but we know this much. Every night you go to bed and every day you wake up is one day closer to that kingdom. So if it was 7 years, it's not 7 years anymore. It's only 6 years and 5 months. If it's 14 years, it's only 13 years and 7 months. So every day that passes is one less day that you have. And as we're going to see here, if you're not bearing fruit and if you're not working for the kingdom of Yahweh, you know, then you're going to reap what you're sown, not in a good way. So it's time to reap what we've sown. But that should be, this should be a positive sermon, not a negative one. Okay? 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. It says, "For if when they have escaped the pollutions of the world by the knowledge of our Master and Redeemer, Yeshua the Messiah, they become again entangled in the very same things and are overcome by them, their latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it was better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, not to have known the truth at all, than having recognized it and turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. But the word of the true proverb has happened to them. The dog returns to his own vomit. Also the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mud." Right? And I remember I said this last Shemitah 7 years ago, and we did have a number of people, you know, even a couple of leaders that fell away, and that was it. And this year, wasn't as many, but there were still a couple of them. There were still a couple of people, you know, because the Shemitah is a time of building up, a time of tearing down. And Yahweh doesn't play games. And if you're not bearing fruit, if you're not following on that track, if you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah, there's a point where you can be cut off. And Yahweh never does that. Yahweh never gives up on us. But what happens is you wind up deceiving yourself to the point, like Satan the devil, that you just stop trying, that you just start blaming everybody else, that you just start, and your life will be miserable. You're never going to be happy. And there's a point of no return. Because to get the point of return, you have to repent. And to repent, you have to look in your own heart and you have to see where you've been wrong. And when you go that far with pride and with idolatry and these other things, you get to the point that you'll never do that again. Like Satan the devil. He'll never wake up one morning and decide, "Oh, wow, you know, I'm wrong. Yahweh really is a good person. He's really only there to help people. Man, I need to repent." No, of course not. Because even if he did, Yahweh would forgive him. But he would never do that. Because in his mind, it's so corrupted. The pride has oozed so much that he thinks that he's right. And that's why you don't want to get to that point of no return. Mark 4 and verse 13. So let's get into some of these things with planting and harvesting, right? Because there's so much from the Garden of Eden, right? The Garden of Eden, Yahweh has used the analogy because that's the way he created the earth, of planting and harvesting. And even what we are, we're made from dirt. We can only survive from things that grow in the dirt, right? And Yahweh made this for us. And now he gives us these analogies. So let's go. Mark 4 and verse 13. Mark 4, and this is, of course, the parable of the sower and the seed. And he said to them, "Do you not know this parable? And how will you know all parables?" Right? Because everything is the basis of Genesis. Yahweh works in the circular, right? So everything is the basis of Genesis. And what is Genesis all about? The Garden of Eden, the garden, right? And the trees of the garden and the fruit of the garden. So that's what he says. If you don't understand this parable, and the parable of sowing the seed is a parallel of the Garden of Eden. So if you don't know this one, how will you know all of them? Look what he says. The sower sows the word, right? So what is the seed? It's the word of Yahweh. That's what the seed is. Literally, that's what we're doing. That's when we go out and we put flyers out, when we go out and talk to people, when we go out and give Bibles or give books out, right? What are we doing? We're sowing seeds. The seed is the word of Yahweh. And these are those by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word having been sown in their hearts. Why? Because they have no interest. Because they're so much into the world and the worldly things, they won't let that. They will not let that seed germinate, right? Because of their worldliness and sometimes pride, but mostly worldliness. And likewise, these are the ones having been sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, right? You've seen people like this. You tell them, they're like, "Wow, that's amazing." But they have no roots in themselves, rather of a short time. And when affliction happens or persecutions because of the word, they're quickly offended. So these are the ones that actually hear it, they believe it, but they're not willing to make any change. They have no faith. Right? They're so mesmerized by the system and their faith is only in the system that they just can't take an action because of that. And those which were sown in a thorny place, so they who hear the word, right? Just like it says in Genesis 3, in thorns and thistles, right? That you're gonna bear your fruit in thorns and thistles. So this is most of the people, right? That we're talking about out there. And those who are sown in a thorny place are they who hear the word in the cares of the world, and the deception of riches, and the rest of the other lusts enter in and choke the word, and it becomes without fruit. So these are people that are sincere. They actually try, but for lack of faith and because of their desire for worldly things and not losing anything of the world and fear of being without money and without job, they just basically go out and they don't bear any fruit. And these are those being sown on the good ground who hear and welcome the word and bring forth fruit 130, 160, and 100-fold. 130, 160. So, like I said, our reward is not all the same. Our position in the kingdom is going to be based on the fruit that we bear. And not everybody's bearing the same amount. And he said to them, does the lamp come that it may be put under the grain measure, under the bed? Is it not also that it may be put on the lampstand? For there is not anything which is hidden that will not be revealed, not anything existing in secret that will not be revealed. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, right? That's the key. Thank Yahweh. I said this from COVID every day. I thank him that I have ears to hear. And he said to them, watch what you hear, for that measure that you measure, with that measure that you measure, it will be measured to you, and it is increased to you, those who hear, right? So how you're judging, how you're measuring, how you're putting out to others, that's what's coming back to you. That's why I said, you're reaping what you have sown. So if you're sowing, like I said, the Shemitah is over. If you're sowing now physical things from your blessing of keeping the Shemitah properly and not buying vegetables and things that were grown in the Shemitah, right? Yahweh is blessing. Look at this blessing of just from a little over a week, you know, of picking. And that's one way. But spiritually we're growing. Spiritually, he's filling us up. Spiritually, he's opening us up to more of his spiritual fruits. And he's revealing more things. And we're bearing more fruit as a congregation. Every week I hear of another elder coming, you know, and more people being baptized. And full congregations, you know, elders coming in with a congregation of 200 and 300, sometimes even more people. He says, for whoever, verse 25, may have, more will be given. And the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. The parable of the talents, right? The same thing. The guy who had the 5 talents and made 10, he's going to rule over 10 cities. The one that had the 2 and made 4, he's going to rule over 4 cities. But the one that had the 1 talent and hid it, the little he had. And that's the Ruach HaKodesh. That every single one of us, when you're baptized, Yahweh puts his spirit in you. And there's only one spirit. So the spirit in the Father is the same spirit in the Son. That's the same spirit in me and you and him and everybody else. So if you're not growing in that spirit, right? So if you're not, you reap what you've sown. But once you plant, right, when you plant the vegetables, like I planted these vegetables out here after Sukkot, I had to water them, right? I had to fertilize. I had to put up, I put something up, you know, using the copper wiring. That's something new that I did that really made them grow. But I had to nurture, I had to weed, you know, and not just me and Mariah worked on it together, but that's what we did. But you have to work on it. You have to work on that if you're going to bear the fruit from it. If not, you're going to reap what you've sown. So if you didn't, what's going to happen? You're going to get virtually nothing, you know. So this is where Yahweh is saying this. Time to harvest seeds planted on good ground. No time on others' bad ground, right? So it's time to harvest the seeds on the good ground. Jeremiah 4, because it's something you have to do before you plant. If you just don't throw seed on the ground, or you're not going to get it. You have to prepare the ground. And we did that, you know, for weeks, preparing the ground. You dig it all up, you turn it over, you bring manure. You know, there's a farmer near us that let us take the sheep and the goat manure and putting it into the garden and then working it, right? Bringing good soil and good dirt and whatnot. So you have to work it. You have to work your fallow ground. Jeremiah 4 and verse 1. Jeremiah 4 in verse 1, look what he says. He says, if you return, O Israel, says Yahweh, return to me. And if you will turn away from your hateful idols out of my face and will not waver, and you will swear as Yahweh lives in trust, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, even the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they will glory. For so says Yahweh to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow to the thorns, right? The cares of the world. And wow, isn't it interesting that right after the Shemitah ended, right? The Shemitah ends on Yom Teruah. And then what happens? It's harvest time. You get to go out and harvest for Sukkot. And then on Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah, the eighth day of Sukkot, what happens? Israel has the worst attack they've had since the Holocaust because they weren't preparing. They didn't keep the Shemitah to begin with. You know, even though they keep another year, they didn't keep their year either. Very few. There's a few there that do it. And even the few that I met, a few of the rabbis, the farms, organic farms that are religious don't even keep it, you know. And just like at Passover time where they sell all their leaven for, you know, for a week to the Arabs and then buy it back for a penny. It's trying to get around the word of Yahweh, and he says it won't work. And he's telling them, break up your fallow ground, right? If you want that, if you want a harvest, if you want fruit in your life, you got to break up the fallow ground. You got to prepare it. It ain't just going to happen. And that's why for 20 years I'm doing a Bible school. I'm preparing people. That's why I travel around the world and do all elders conferences and travel to the brethren, because they have to be prepared. It just doesn't happen on its own. And that's why you need judicial order. The greatest way to prove to somebody that you need judicial order is the fact it's a worldwide work. How do you do a worldwide work without organizing together, without having elders and organizing it, right? And that's why you need judicial order. It's not just that, everybody just goes out and does what they want to. No, that is not going to get the work done that Yahweh gave. And that's why Yahweh commissioned 12 to begin with. And they orderly worked together and took areas and went to different areas. They didn't all just go to the same area. And even when the Apostle Paul came, he went to a different area than the other 12 went to. Right? And they worked together in an orderly way. And that's why they had ordinations and elders and senior elders and elders that took care of some areas and not others. Verse 4 says, circumcise yourself to Yahweh and take away the foreskin of your heart. And that's the problem. Hopefully your pride this year, Yahweh has humbled you through all the things with the Shemitah. O men of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, that my fury not go forth like fire and burn, so that no one can put it out because of the evil of your doings. Declare in Judah and make it heard in Jerusalem and say, blow the ram's horn in the land. Cry the end and say, assemble yourself and go into the cities of defense, right? Wow. And hear the word, they're being attacked. Lift up a banner towards Zion. Flee for safety and do not wait, for I will bring evil from the north in a great ruin. And where is their trouble coming from? It's coming from the south in Hamas, in the north with Hezbollah. And Hezbollah, I hope it doesn't happen, but that might just be the beginning of sorrows up there. That war didn't even really take off yet, but it really is heating up. And there will be a point of no return if this keeps going that way in the north. And it will be much worse than what's happened down in Gaza in the south. But this is also for us in our lives, right? The Shemitah is over. Are you breaking up your fallow ground? Are you preparing your life for the harvest and the blessing now? Because that's what Yahweh said. He will bless us in the seventh, the eighth, and even the ninth year. And not just physically, but spiritually. That's the most important blessing. And are you ready for it? Hosea 10 and verse 13. Hosea 10 and verse 11, 11 through 13. Hosea 10, 11 through 13. Says, and Ephraim is a trained heifer, loving to tread out. But I passed over on the goodness of her neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break clods for him. Right? So this is talking about in the end time when Judah and Ephraim, the friction between them is gone and they're working together. Right? And Judah's plowing and Jacob is breaking up the fallow ground. And that's what we should be doing now. We need to be breaking up that fallow ground. So, because when the time Judah understands and their mind is open, it's when Yeshua is returning. It's very toward the end. We have to be preparing these things. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in kindness, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek Yahweh until he comes and rains righteousness on you, the latter rain, right? You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your way in the multitude of your mighty warriors, right? And we're seeing that. in Israel, where the trust they put in the IDF just wasn't there on October 7th. And we need to see it in our own life. What kind of trust did we put there in ourselves? Trust maybe in money, trust maybe in whatever, but not in Yahweh. And like I said, unfortunately, there were a few brethren that even just because they didn't have the faith, didn't even keep the Shemitah. They were buying food in the supermarket that they shouldn't have. They were eating the things that were planted in the Shemitah. And you're going to reap what you sow, you know, or what you've sown, because now it's the time for reaping. Now it's the time for reaping. Shemitah should have prepared our fallow ground. And now, like I said, that we should have sanctified us from the world. We can't go back to the old ways. 1 Corinthians 15:34, I'm not going to go there, but what does it say? Bad relationships ruin good habits. So the Shemitah was also a time for not just physically not planning and physically not going to supermarkets and that kind of thing, but it was a time even for people. The Shemitah is a time. It's a time of building up, a time of tearing down. And it should have been a time that you were looking at relationships and looking at maybe relationships from the world that need to be modified and maybe just some of them just need to be broken off altogether. But it's a time for that, that we need to do that. So Galatians 6, because the seeds that you planted are the seeds that are going to come up. And like it says, if you're planting seeds of wickedness, then you're going to get fruit of iniquity. If you're planting seeds of righteousness, then you're going to get fruit of righteousness. So Galatians 6 and verse 6. Galatians 6 and verse 6. It says, but let the one being taught in the word share with the one teaching in all good things. Do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man may sow, that he will also reap. For the one sowing to his flesh will reap corruption of the flesh. But the one sowing to the Spirit will reap everlasting life from the Spirit. And let us not be weary now that we are working for good. But in the season of reaping, we will not faint. Right? So you don't always... When you sow in the ground there, right? It takes time. And you put in those plants and you have to wait, not just day after day, but week after week and months after months. You have to wait till the things come up. And then you have to, like I said, you have to weed it and you have to nurture those crops. You have to make sure they're watered. So it's not something that is immediate gratification. Something that takes a long time. But now, in the end, now once you've done it, like the Shemitah, if you did all that hard work, now you can reap what you've had sown, right? And let us not weary now that we are working for good, for in the season of reaping we will not faint. And we're coming to it. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work good toward all men, especially toward the sons of the household of faith. And like I said, I see now, and I don't know how long Yahweh will keep this door open, but I see there is a short window for his work worldwide, that it is growing, it is manifesting, and all those seeds that were put in the ground are coming to fruition in a way like I've never seen it. So praise Elohim for that, you know, that he is doing this. What seeds of faith we laid as foundation in the Shemitah will help us to bear fruit now. 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 6. He says, but remember this, the one sowing sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one sowing generously will also reap generously. Each one as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And Elohim is able to make all grace to abound toward you, that in everything, always having all self-sufficiency, you may abound to every good work. Even it has been written, he has distributed liberally, he has given to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for eating, may he supply and multiply your seed and increase the fruit of your righteousness. In everything, you being enriched in all sincerity, which works out thanksgiving to Yahweh through us, because the ministry of the service is not only making up the things lacking of the saints, but also multiplying through many thanksgivings to Yahweh. Through the proof of this charitable service, they glorify Yahweh by your freely expressed submission to the good news of Messiah. And through your generosity, you have become partakers with them and with all men. And they offer prayer on your behalf with greater love because of the overflowing grace of Elohim, which is on you. But thanks be to Elohim for his unspeakable free gift. Wow. So that's the point. In the spirit, like I said, when you're looking at synergy, you know, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. 1 + 1 could equal not 3. It could equal 6. It could equal 16. It could equal 26. It could equal 6,000. That spiritual synergy is unbelievable how far it can go. So are we all reaping by the prayers, the blessings, the mammons that we've shared with each other? You know? We should be praying for each other every single day, right? And helping each other with all the different things that we do. And I really, it touches my heart to see how wonderful giving the brethren are, you know? And we have 90% of our brethren are in the third world, right? And even third world brethren asking how they can help, where they can share, how they can give, which is great to see because that means Yahweh is just going to bless them even more. John 12 and verse 24. John 12 and verse 24. Because you have to cast your bread upon the waters, you know, if you're going to get it back, you know, in the time of reaping. And again, like he says here, whoever sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. So, you know, and I've done a garden my whole life. I've never farmed like acres and acres. But one thing I know is the hardest part is in the preparation. It's the preparing it, right? And if you're going to prepare, it's not worth to prepare something the size of this table. If you're going to do that preparation, you might as well put the little more preparation in and do something bigger. Because when the time for reaping comes, you know, once you put the hard work and the water and the fertilizer and all the other things, it ain't worth it if you're only getting a few small pieces. So you can't sow sparingly. You have to sow, you know, multiplying as much as possible. And the more you sow, the more you're going to reap. It's that simple, like it says here. The one sowing sparingly will reap sparingly, and the one sowing generously will reap generously. So, but now the ones who didn't, right? The ones who did not sow generously. Look at what it says in John 12. This is a very interesting scripture. John 12 and verse 24. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you that a grain of wheat, except it should fall and die on the ground, remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." Yeshua is talking about himself, but right? So if you have a grain of wheat and you just leave it there, it doesn't do anything. You have to let it die. You have to put it in the dirt, just like when somebody dies, right? And then that produces, right? But look at what it says next. "Whoever loves his soul will destroy it, and whoever hates his soul in the world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So this is what's really interesting. So let's say you didn't sow generously, right? You did sparingly, and now you didn't get much of a harvest. And now you're working through and you're eating. And now it comes down to there's just a little bit of grain left, right? Maybe one big bag, right? And you have to decide, what do we do with this? Do we eat it because we don't have food, right? And then we have nothing for planting. Or do we sacrifice and not eat and plant it where we're going to get a big harvest the next time? So when you sow sparingly, that's the decision you have to come down to. You have to start making harder decisions in your life. And it's the same way here. Because you know what? Like I said, look what's behind me from 1 week of harvest, you know, in a physical way. But spiritually, it's the same way. When you're preparing, like I said, when you prepare it on the sixth day for Shabbat or the sixth year for Shemitah, when you're doing that preparation and now Yahweh is blessing you tremendously, you don't have to make those decisions. You know what decisions you have to make? Where to give it to, you know? And that's what I have to do. I have to take all the harvest that comes in, right? Not necessarily this harvest in our garden outside, but the spiritual harvest, and try to give to the congregations. And praise Elohim, since Shemitah ended, I have been able to help and bless our congregations in ways that I haven't been able to do for a long, long time. We've been able to help all of our congregations all over the world. There's no congregation that was in need that we weren't able to help with. So what a blessing that is, because we're not sowing sparingly, but we're doing generously, right? We're doing it generously. And it's the same in your life. But if you haven't, now you have to make those hard decisions. And are you going to use up the little bit you have left just to survive and then you have nothing? Or are you going to now make those hard decisions and have this time? It's like people that go into debt. There's a point where you have to cut off everything and pay down your debt or you're going to go bankrupt. And, you know, and that means hard decisions. That means cutting things out. That means doing without, you know, until you can get yourself back on your feet. And that's what we're here now for, right? So if you didn't bear fruit and you sowed sparingly, your seed is going to be sparse and you have to decide to use that seed or to plant it for the next time. John 9 and verse 4. John 9 and verse 4 says, "It is necessary for me to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one is able to work." And we know the night is coming, the spiritual night. And that's why we have to take advantage of this now. As long as things are good, right? We don't know when the next COVID's coming. We don't know when the digital money, where we're not going to be able to buy and sell. And it could be this year. It can be in a matter of months. Or maybe it's a year or two, a couple of years away. Who knows? Only Yahweh knows. But all we know is while we can still do what we're doing, we need to be doing it for the kingdom in this short period of time. And then you're gonna be blessed for that for eternity. So anybody who's just going back to the old way of life and the way it was before, even after Yahweh gave us things like COVID to show us how the new world order is basically already taken over the world, and wow, I can only pity you. But it's the time to work. It's the time to work and bear fruit, because if you're not bearing fruit, then there's nothing there for you after that. It's like the one who is going to use the seed now, there'll be nothing there next year. And if you're not sacrificing now and putting those spiritual seeds in the ground, you know, for the kingdom and the eternal fruit and the eternal reward you're going to get, then there'll be nothing there later. John 15. Because we know that Christianity says, no, you know, there's only grace. And I am going to talk about that at Passover this year. But it's not the way they make it sound. We do have to have a work. And it's all over Scripture that we have gifts that Yahweh's given us. And if we don't produce fruit for his kingdom, not for ourselves, then we risk not even being in his kingdom. But look what it says in John 15. "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser," right? Like a grapevine. "Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes away. And each one bearing fruit, he prunes so that may bear more fruit." And we have grape vines where we're staying now. And I have to do that. They grow really fast, you know. And you have to cut them back, especially the ones that die. But the ones that are producing fruit, you still have to cut it down at the end of the year so that it produces more fruit the next time. And if not, you're stunting what it's going to produce. So you have to prune it. You have to prune. You have to prune your trees. You know, your lemon trees and your orange trees and your pomegranate trees and your fig trees. They all have to be pruned. We had so many figs last year, I can't tell you. It was unbelievable. I showed some pictures of the baskets and baskets and baskets of figs we had to the point where we couldn't even use them. We were giving them away, selling them, or trading with the farmer. So, amazing. He says, "You are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you," right? So that's the point. By his word, by messages like this, you should be being pruned so that you could bear more fruit. "Remain in me and I in you. As the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself," right? No such thing as private ministries. We're all in this together. There's one faith. There's one body. "Unless they remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me." Right? Yeshua is the head. He set 12 apostles who ordained others, ordained others, ordained others. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we still can prove that unbroken line of succession. And we could show that, yes, Yeshua is one body, and it's not meant for the rogue. You know, Proverbs 18:1, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire." "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me you're not able to do anything. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up, and they gather and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, whatever you desire, you will ask, and it will happen to you, right? That's the blessing of the seventh year, the eighth year, even into the ninth year, that Yahweh is going to bless us now. So let's take advantage of it. Like I said, 3 for 1, we did it during the Shemitah. What a great Shemitah year we had as a congregation. And now this year, while we can plant and Yahweh is going to harvest, we have our elders going out. We are doing the Matthew 24 project, and every single person out there can do it. Go online. We have it there. You can do it if you're alone, if you don't have a congregation near you, or you can do it with your congregation. It doesn't make a difference. Every single person can be a part of this. And we're commanded to. That's what Yeshua told us. He told us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, to go out and bring this good news into all the world. In this my Father is glorified, verse 8, that you should bear much fruit, and you will be disciples of me. So without it, like he says, you're pruned away, but you have to bear fruit. You have to bear fruit. Matthew 20 and verse 1. Or you risk being replaced. Matthew 20 and verse 1. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a housemaster, who went out when it was early to hire workers into his vineyard," right? And this is pretty much talking about Yeshua from 30 AD until today. "And he bargained with the laborers for a denarius per day, and he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the market. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will give to you whatever is just.' And they went. And again, about the sixth and ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he found others standing idle. And he said, 'Why do you stand idle? Why do you stand here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and you will receive what is just.'" That's what's happening now, right? We're going out, and it's the last hour, and we're bringing in many, many new people into the faith that wouldn't have been there. "But evening having come, the master of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the workers and pay them the wage, beginning from the last to the first.' And the ones having come the 11th hour, each received a denarius." Wow. "And having come, the first supposed that they would receive more, and they also received the denarius. And having received it, they murmured against the housemaster, saying, 'These last have performed 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day.' But answering, he said to one of them, 'Friend, I did you no wrong. Did you not agree to a denarius with me? Take yours and go, but I desire to give to this last as also to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I desire with my things? Or is your eye evil because my eye is good?" And we got to watch that. We got to watch sometimes when we're looking at what somebody else is getting and thinking we deserve at least that or more. You know, because we don't deserve anything but death. That's what we deserve. All of us are under that death penalty. And praise Elohim that he sent his only son to pay the penalty of our sins. And not only aren't we going to die, but we're going to be giving immortality, you know, at Yeshua's return, and we have eternal life already living in us. We don't deserve anything. So we need to be thankful for what Yahweh's given us and praise him that he's still calling people in the time we're living in. He says, "So the last will be first and the first last, for many called but few chosen." What does he mean by that? He means in the time we're living in now, that many people in our generation are going to be pivotal cornerstones in the kingdom of Yahweh. Because of what we're going through now, and because of the mark of the beast, because more people will perish now than ever before, and the sacrifices that we're going to have to make, you know, for the kingdom of Yahweh. But if you're not willing to do that, then you're not going to get that reward. You're not going to get the reward for doing nothing. That's why I say, in many ways, Christianity is more evil than Islam. Because Islam, you know what you're coming against. But to tell people that they could live in sin and they're going to get eternal life, it's the same lie that Satan told in Genesis 3. No, go ahead. Eat that fruit. Nothing's going to happen to you. And yet, he knew it was a lie. So, time is running out. And we want to make sure that we are fulfilling our priesthood. Jacob 2 and verse 14. Jacob 2 and verse 14. He says, my brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith, but he does not have deeds? Is the faith able to restore him to life? But if a brother or a sister is naked and may be lacking in daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but does not give them the things the body needs, what is the gain? Right? So also faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead by itself. And like I said, praise Elohim, we have been able to, in the last 5 months, replenish most of what was eaten and taken during the Shemitah with our congregations. We're replanted, we're regrowing, we're helping the people, because that's the deed that we're doing. Faith without deeds is dead. So also faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead being by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith apart from your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Wow. Verse 20, but are you willing to know, O vain man, that faith apart from deeds is dead? So this is where the rubber's hitting the road, right? There's got to be hard decisions in all of our lives. And you better be willing to make those hard decisions, right? And look, the faith should be in the proof of Yahweh's blessing on you individually and on his people as a whole through the Shemitah. I can't believe how much Yahweh blessed individually in my life, in our family, and as a congregation. I'm in awe, especially in the times we're living in. As inflation is going through the roof, as all these things are happening, and Yahweh only blessed us more than we can ever imagine because we're doing his work. And I'm talking not just physical thing, I'm talking spiritual food, because we do reap what we have sown. We have been released from that old way of life, and we have to start looking at that new way of life and stay in it. Romans 6. And I pray that during Shemitah you weren't just worried about, you know, looking at things. Is it Shemitah proof? You have to do that. I hope you did it. But I hope that wasn't just it. I pray you were looking in your life and seeing what you needed to get rid of in your life. You know, pride, self-righteousness, you know, lust, greed, whatever it could be. Being in the world too much. Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Let it not be, but we who have died to sin, how shall we live in it? Or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Messiah Yeshua were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life, right? It's newness of life, just like a plant. It went into the ground, and like I said, all that hard work you put in to water it, to nurture it, to weed it. And now as that new plant comes up there, it's newness of life. It's newness of life, and we are that plant. We are that plant. The old life has got to go, and the new life come. For if we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, so also shall we be in the resurrection. For we know this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we no longer serve sin. For he who is dead has been freed from sin. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. But you have to continue on that walk to stay free. So whatever you started during Shemitah, you better continue. And if you didn't start anything during Shemitah, you are behind. You are behind. Start today. Start today. Because you risk losing your eternal life. Verse 16. Do you not know to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience? You are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness, right? Were you obeying Yahweh during the Shemitah? Were you looking for his blessing spiritually and physically? Or were you cheating? Were you cheating, or were you going towards Satan's system for that? But thanks be to Elohim that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you were enslaved to righteousness. So that's where we should have been going, the Shemitah. We should have been looking at ourselves. And like I said, a year building up, a year of tearing down. A year of, we should have been getting rid of bad relationships. We should have been getting rid of any pride in our life. We should have been getting rid of self-righteousness, looking deep in our heart and seeing where we needed to change. Verse 21, therefore, what fruit did you have then in the things over which you are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having been enslaved to Elohim, you have your fruit unto sanctification, unto holiness, unto kadosh, and the end, everlasting life, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is everlasting life in Yeshua, Messiah, our Master. So this is what Yahweh is doing. Like I said, COVID is something that this world has never seen before, where the whole worldwide was locked into houses, not one little area, but everywhere. And Yahweh did it to show us, to get us out of that system where they forced us, where we couldn't go to hospitals, you couldn't go to doctors, you couldn't go to supermarkets, you couldn't buy and sell. And he showed us because he knows what's on the horizon. And he visually wanted us to see it with our eyes and experience in our life, not for a day or a month, but for almost 3 years. And like I said, the New World Order didn't go away. They're planning the next thing that is much, much worse. World War, that is already now in several areas. Digital money, where you're not going to be able to buy and sell. We already know it. The Bible says it. So this is where we need to be moving forward. And that was the Shemitah, was a great year to come out of the world. And now don't stop. Move ahead. Keep moving ahead from here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, because we want to make sure, because we will reap what we have sown. We want to be sowing righteousness. We want to be sowing good seeds. And we want to be sowing it in abundance. Prepare the fallow ground and then plant in abundance and reap in righteousness and abundance. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. So that if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are from Elohim, the one having reconciled us to himself through Yeshua, Messiah, and having given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we are, the ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. For Yahweh was in Messiah, who has reconciled the world with his majesty, not charging their sins against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Then on behalf of Messiah, we are ambassadors. Fulfill that. Stand tall. Live like an ambassador. Dress like an ambassador. Talk like an ambassador. Everything you do in your life, you know, you need to fill the role of an ambassador. Like I always say at the school, an ambassador is never out of state. We are ambassadors as Elohim is exhorting through us. We beseech on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled to Yahweh. For he, Yeshua, who did not know sin, for your sake made himself sin, that we might through him become the righteousness of Yahweh. Make this the most meaningful Passover in your life. This winter has been going fast. Passover will be here not that long. And we want to make sure it's a springboard. It's a springboard, you know, for the fruit that's coming this spring, this summer, this fall. Because we don't know how short the time is. Like new seed planted, we are a new creation. We're ambassadors for the ministry of reconciliation. Mark 4 and verse 26. Mark 4 and verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of Yahweh as if a man should cast seed on the earth and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and lengthen of itself as he does not know. For of itself the earth bears fruit, right? And that's what he said. You do all the hard work and you go and you look and you just see dirt, right? And then maybe after a week to 10 days, you see a little greenery coming up. And then an ear. After that, it grows into an ear, right? Then full grain in the ear. So it comes in stages, the same way our spiritual life is in stages. And hopefully, we are not in that stage where we don't even see anything yet, where we just planted. Now, maybe you're new. Maybe you're just baptizing, you're in that stage. But again, then we're going to put mighty fertilizer on that for your life to grow really, really fast because the times we're living in, right? So first it's greenery, then the earth, then full grain the earth. And when the fruit is ripe, immediately he sends forth the sickle, for the harvest is come. And here we are. Now it's time to harvest. Now it's time to bear the fruit of what we've been doing the last couple of years. The things you've been nurturing, the things you're growing in, the things you're overcoming physically and spiritually in your life. It's time to reap the harvest. We want to reap what we have already sown. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Psalm 126 and verse 5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. Why are they sowing in tears? Because of all the hard work, and it's going to take months and months and months and they don't know if they're going to get anything out of it, you know. It's like if you ever watched Little House on the Prairie, you know, where the father's out there for months and working hard and doing everything, then one storm comes and wipes away the whole harvest, and he's got to start all over again. And that's us sometimes, and that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes, you know, we go a wrong road and we hit a dead end, we got to start over again. But you gotta look toward Yahweh, you gotta look toward His Word, you gotta look toward those spiritual gifts He's giving you, and you gotta go out. And there's a point, though, where you have to put good seeds in the ground. You gotta prepare your fallow ground, put good seeds in, and then you gotta reap. You gotta reap what you've sown. So let's hopefully hope it's now. Those who sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. Surely he who walks and weeps, bearing a trail of seeds, shall come again with joyful shouting, bearing his sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. I didn't have that ready for the end of the sermon, but I should have. Okay. The harvest is ready, the Shemitah is over, and we are heading into the most important seventh cycle in your life. Like I said, whether this is it or we got one more, don't make a difference, because things are going to, as if when the last seven is here, if this is it or there's one more, as we get down, it's going to condense the punishment real bad. So time is short. We can sow in joy knowing every seed sown will be blessed by Yahweh. Isn't that great? Isn't that great when you're in His will? That you could, you don't have to sow in tears. You can sow in joy because you know that every seed blessed will be blessed by Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. And even the Apostle Paul uses, look what he says. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but Yahweh made the increase, right? Never forget that. Never forget that. So when you're thinking, I don't have the ability or I don't have the spiritual gift, I don't have this, it's Yahweh that gives the increase. And that's why we got to work together. Because whatever you don't have, maybe I have. And whatever I don't have, maybe somebody else has. But if we're all working together, right? I planted, Apollos watered, but Yahweh made to increase. So then neither he who plants or he who waters deserves the credit, but Yahweh who gives the increase, right? Where is the boasting? Like it says in Romans. We don't boast. The only thing that we can boast for is that we allowed our pride to go to the side and we allowed Him to work in us, but He's giving the increase. That's it. And even the ability we have to do it, it's His ability. So all we're doing is surrendering to Him. You can take boasting in that, but that's about it. So then he who plants or he who waters deserve the credit, but Yahweh gives the increase. Thus the planter and the waterer are equal, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we work together with Yahweh. You are Yahweh's work, and you are a building of Yahweh, right? And that's why we're equal. And there's maybe seeds that somebody else planted that I was able to reap and help and benefit from. There's seeds that I plant that somebody else does. People write me all the time and ask, can we use your Bible for this, and can we use it for that? And I always say, as long as you don't change anything, as long as you don't change the meaning or whatever, please use it for whatever you can get. I don't care. You don't have to put my name. You don't have to put nothing down. As long as there's fruit being born, Yahweh in heaven is recording everything. So we're all in this together. There's only one team, right? There's only one team, and that's Yeshua's team. And that's why you need judicial order if you're going to have this work. John 4 and verse 31. A couple more scriptures. We'll be finished here. John 4 and verse 31. This is with the Samaritan woman, remember, and he says, but in the meantime, the disciples ask him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Then the disciples said to one another, no one brought food for him to eat. Yeshua said to him, my food is that I should do the will of him who sent me, and I may finish his work, right? The spiritual food comes before the physical. Do not say that after 4 months comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields. They are white and have ripened for the harvest already. This was during a Shemitah. How do we know? Because only, this is during the time of Shavuot, and only during a Shemitah will the harvest had not been cleared by Shavuot time. And there would be 4 months left until the Shemitah would end at Yom Teruah. So now that, like I said, now that we're already 5 months into the new cycle, do not say there's 4 months left to the harvest, right? Behold, lift up your eyes, for from everything that we did during Shemitah, look out there now. There is a great harvest to do. And Yahweh didn't call you to be a spectator believer. He called each of us to be a part in that work. He's given each of us gifts to be a part in that work. And every soul is important. There's sometimes brethren will say to me, you know, my area, I'm in an area where people aren't really that interested. But you know what? Someone's interested. And every soul is important to Yahweh. Like the Jewish people, they have in their oral writings, you know, that he who saves one life saves the universe. Because you never know who that one person could be. It could be the next Albert Einstein. It could be the next, who knows, whoever, you know, the next Apostle Paul. So he who saves a life, so there's always one person. And you know what? You don't give the increase anyway. You're just out there planting and watering and fertilizing, yet let Yahweh give the increase. Don't make excuses that are going to hold you back. You want to go out there and you want to put that out, and you'll be surprised sometimes on how much fruit can be bare that you never thought. You'll be surprised. So most seeds already planted, harvest is ready. We must work quick or you're going to lose the ripe fruit, right? Because there's stuff that's already on the trees because we couldn't pick it, you know, during Shemitah that you don't want to lose. Last scripture, Luke 10. Verse 1 and 2. And after these things, Yeshua also appointed 70 others from his disciples and sent them two by two before his face into every city and region where he was about to go. Therefore, he said to them, indeed, the harvest is much, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the master of the harvest that he send out workers into his harvest. Therefore, he said to them, indeed, the harvest is much, but the laborers are few. And here we are, right? And look what he says next. Go, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And boy, is that true today. So we do have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. But the harvest is ready and the workers are few. So he needs every one of us, right? And like in Gideon's army, he really, in one way, he could do it without any of us. He could make the rocks go out and preach the good news. But he's chosen us. And the reason why the harvest is ready and the laborers are few is so that Yahweh gets all the increase, that he gets all the credit for it, that we don't think, oh, we're doing this because of the millions and millions of people we have. But each one of you out there, if you were baptized in Yeshua's name, you know, I did an interview this week with YRM Ministries, and they were interviewing me about Mount Sinai and what's happening in Israel and some different things. And I was telling them that what an honor, because other people have gone to Mount Sinai. You know, not a lot, but there are a few people that went there and leaders that have taken people. But we are the first ones going in the name of Yahweh. We're the first ones going in the group. And without the name of Yahweh, you can't be part of the restoration ministry. Because all the scriptures, not one or two, but many of them say, and in that day, they will know my name is Yahweh. So if you're coming in the name of God or something else, you know, all these weird names they say, Jehovah and all these other things that are impossible according to Hebrew, then you can't be part of that. You cannot be part of what Yahweh's doing in the end time. But you are, if you're part of our congregation, right? And you're baptizing Yeshua's name and you have ears to hear and eyes to see, then you're part of it. So now you have to get a game plan. You have to figure out what are your spiritual gifts. Shame on you if you don't know them, but if you don't, you better start looking in Corinthians 12 and come up with what they are, and then start using those gifts toward ministry of bearing fruit for the kingdom. We could all work together, and there's things you do separately in your own area. You know, go to Matthew 24, 14 project on the website and do it, because, you know, it's time to reap what we have sown. So I pray that, you know, like I said, like we read here in Corinthians, someone else may reap what we've sown, but we still share in their reward. You know, are you at least, are you praying for me? Are you praying for the other elders? Are you tithing? You know, that's what makes this work happen. We are a family, and Yahweh is expanding his family through the end time restoration ministry. We need to build on our fallowing and preparation that we did for the Shemitah and reap the harvest and bear fruit together for the eternal inheritance. The time is short. The time is now. We have to redeem the time because the days are evil and we can't let any more time go on. We're almost 6 months into this new year since the Shemitah is over. You know, we're 5 months into it. The Passover will be coming soon. And the time is not stopping. It's going faster. So we need to get ourselves together and start bearing fruit. It's time to reap what we have sown. Yahweh bless. Goodbye.